Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPJ number 110. That's Ba'is Pnimi, joint share number 110. Today is a sobering share, but it is extremely important, which is don't terrorize or tyrannize or dictate or demand from your spouse. And we often think that we wouldn't do that. Real abusers would, but us regular people, we wouldn't do that. But we sometimes, although, thank God, over 90%+ of people are not actual physical, emotional abusers. I hope that's the case. But all of us sometimes have our bad moments, our dark moments, where we could fall prone under stress to do something like this when we're really upset or in a bad mood. And we have to really extremely be extremely vigilant to make sure that not a zecher of this is in our personality. And we have to uproot it completely. You can't physically force another person. You can't psychologically force another person, especially your own husband and wife, to behave as you wish. Again, you cannot physically force another person. You cannot psychologically force another person, especially your own husband and wife, to behave as you wish. You may think that imposing your will, if you have that stronger personality, would be a quick, effective shortcut to get what you want. But nothing is more guaranteed to destroy intimacy, to destroy honesty, to destroy respect, to destroy their lives and in turn your lives, more than doing something like that. And in fact, it's a sure way to intensify the negative behavior. And if they swallow it, at some point, they can't take it anymore, and it'll cause severe, severe damage. There's no direct method that exists to change your spouse. The most productive way to elicit, to promote, to influence different behavior from your spouse is by effecting a change within yourself. The exception to this rule is a abuser, physical, sexual, emotional, to the point of a mental disorder type of thing. That's the exception to the rule. There, no matter what you do, you're the victim. But you have to be really, really sure that you are. But if you are, you are. But in, like I said, 90% or so, hopefully more than that, of our marriages, it's not that case, not the case. And therefore, there's no direct method to change your spouse. You have to change yourself. And that will influence your spouse. Accept and respect the fact that your spouse is an autonomous person, independent of you, and intelligent. Often just as intelligent than you, more than you. Often more intelligent in many ways than you. So remember that. You cannot control your spouse. You never did. You cannot browbeat or smash them into submission. You cannot manipulate them. You cannot control them. And if you do those things, short term, you will get what you want, perhaps, with some personalities, but it will blow up in your face. It will cause tremendous damage. And Hashem is not happy with people who do this. Many well-meaning people try to do this. They try to control their spouse. They even convince themselves there's a chiyuv to do this. Eis las, eis l'Hashem. And that is a chiyuv to control them, to uphold a certain high standard in Yiddishkeit. Of course, Yiddishkeit is always the scapegoat route. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for the Rabbeinu Shalom. A lot of abusers do that a lot. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Confident that they know what would make their marriage and family function, if only their spouse and children would just listen to them, just cooperate with them. So they attempt to take a shortcut to their vision of shalom bayis and harmony. How do I take a shortcut? Easy shortcut. force compliance to that vision. Force compliance to my vision of reality, of how a house is supposed to be put up, or how I believe a Torah house is supposed to be put up. And I force that to happen. I impose my will on my wife, on my husband, to get this to happen. And the scars inflicted by this kind of tyranny runs deep in the psyche, especially in children. No self-respecting spouse should stand for such abusive treatment. Every parent has a sacred obligation to protect his or her children from this kind of mistreatment. You need to speak to healthy rabbanim, healthy, you need siyata d'shmai to get a healthy rav in Pesach, to understand halachically, legally, and also psychologically, understand what abuse actually is, to determine whether the behaviors are real abuse. Sometimes it actually is. Then the whole dynamic changes. Sometimes it's not mamish abuse, it's just very bad behavior. Then a rav or a mentor can guide and to counsel and direct to correct that behavior, and the marriage gets better. When you have one that's really hit the point of a mental disorder type thing, of being so rooted in their negative behaviors where it constitutes abuse, that requires a whole different type of hadracha. But either way, for the 90%+ of people that are listening now that are not abusers, you may not be abusers, but controlling is controlling. You're controlling and you're trying to control a situation. You're trying to push, you're trying to force compliance indirectly, directly by being charmed, by using Mamari Chazal, whatever you're trying to do. Even if you're smiling when you're doing it, this is the thing, b'save upon him yafis. You know, I'm doing this with a smile. I'm talking in a calm voice, and I'm sort of like being polite. But if the undertone of what you're doing is to push, to force, to manipulate your husband or your wife to do what you want, that is disastrous control. The key for these people are control yourself. You don't control anyone else. Loilam al yatil odam eime yesei rabbetech beisai. Rav Chisda said in Gittin daf vav amid beis, do not, a man, especially on the husband's side, do not exercise excessive authority in their home. It, by the way, applies a lot to strong-minded women as well. They could be bullies as much as men can, and sometimes even worse. There is no shortage of wonderful tzaddikim in both genders. And unfortunately, there's no shortage, and we have to make it a shortage. But there's no shortage of this unhealthy control in both genders. Then the idea is he brings a beautiful medrash with three sets of things. We're going to go to number one now, where Hashem says, Hashem is requested by David, HaMelech, Al ba'apcha techicheni, don't rebuke me in your anger. And Rabbi Elazar said, how do you rebuke without anger? So he gives a mushel. A king was holding a sharp sword in his hand, got very angry at his son, and in his rage, he swore to hit the sword over his son's head. And then the king copped himself and said, now I'm in trouble. If I hit him this way, like I promised, like I swore, he won't survive. He's going to get killed. I'm going to kill him if I do that. How will my malchus continue? And I love my son. But if I mevatel my decree completely, that's impossible. A king has to keep his decrees. So what did the king do? He took the sharp sword, put it in its sheath, its cover, so it was blunt. The sword was still a sword. It just, instead of being the sharp sword that it was, it had the cover on it. A blunted sword. And he hit the blunted sword over his son's head, which did not injure the son, may have hurt, but did not cause any type of damage. And he did not nullify his gezeirah either. So that's what we ask Hashem. Al ba'apcha secheicheni. You know, Yehalavai, there's other psukim where you ask Hashem to wipe it out completely. Please, Hashem, just help me do such a tshuva and accept it that I should not have any remnant of it. Don't make that shvua in anger to do this. You ask that in advance. But if that already happened, Hashem has ways to sweeten it, to make it a mild thing where he does hit you, it hurts a little bit, no major damage, and you move on, and that's a chesed nifla. That is the idea how we're supposed to behave towards our spouse, not to criticize destructively. If you have a complaint against somebody, consider that perhaps with your sharp words you will ruin and you won't fix at all. Rather than harshness, just like this king did not hit his son over the head with a sharp blade that would kill him, and instead put it in the cover and hit him that way, very softly, your critique, rather than harsh, needs to be soft, inflicting the least pain possible. Launching a withering onslaught of insensitive, harsh criticism in order to prove beyond any doubt that someone else is wrong and, more importantly, that you are right, is unconscionable and self-defeating. The worst thing you could do is be an action, be stubborn, to prove that you're right. The opposite disastrous result takes place. It guarantees defiant continuance, reinforcement of the negative behavior you're trying to eliminate. Don't say, for example, you never helped me with the kids, and you're inconsiderate, and you're selfish, just like your father. Instead, you say, you know I'm tired, and at the same time, it would still help me a lot if you could help me get the kids in pajamas. You're not pushing things under the rug. You're not swallowing. You're saying what you're saying. You need the help, and you're telling your husband, I need this help. I really want you to do this. I need you to do this. And you don't keep quiet and swallow when he's, even though he's tired. I know you're tired, but I really need your help now. That's the way you talk. Not that you're who knows what, and you're a lowlife, you're a lazy bum, you never help me, you're inconsiderate, you're selfish, you're like your father, like your father's father. That doesn't accomplish anything. Instead, you make constructive comments and suggestions, gently, sparingly, to maintain a sense of dignity, even as you're saying something that is, you know, something that you know that you have to tell your husband or wife. But it's a sense, they keep their sense of self-worth. You use your words to bolster, even as you're saying a musser or saying something that you really need or you're upset about something, you still figure out how to use your words to bolster your husband or wife's dignity and self-worth. To make it clear that even as you're trying to express what you're disappointed about, that I'm not your enemy. I'm your ally. I'm your friend. I care about you. I care about your well-being. I care about you being better. And I respect you greatly. But I have to tell you this because this is really bothering me and I need you to help me. I really feel you need to correct this because it's hurting our relationship. That you could say. If your tone and manner is not condescending, then your words will be heard and your words will be accepted. That is the idea. Bracha v'atzlacha.